And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is December 19, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. And today we are going to start the show with a very happy birthday to Doug and Donald Newsom, our awesome guys that work so hard to make this BBS radio work for everybody, for the people, by the people. And we bless you guys, and we love you, and I hope you have a wonderful, fantastic holiday season and a new year. Now, as we say that, we have a wonderful guest, a great spirit that I could tell from the first second that I heard her voice. Her name is Sherry Edwards. Sherry Edwards are joining us today. Good morning, Sherry.
She dropped off. I'll have to get her back.
All right. You know what? Let's keep on going as we say. You know, it's really, am I on?
Yes.
All right. Let's say we have a guest, Sherry. For some reason, she's dropping off. Sometimes it's meant to be. Sometimes it's not meant to be. It's a really, really sensitive times in the world today, and I want to touch base with what's going on as we speak. As we speak, like for an hour ago, there was a big shooting in an art museum in Ankara, Turkey. The ambassador of Russia was gunned down by somebody who predicted and knew where he is, and they were actually waiting him. The ambassador is in critical condition, and we are wishing him all the best in the world to good recovery, because I really would not like to see or hear what the repercussion of this act of violence can be reflecting on Turkey or in the region. Just remember, let's touch base on what's going on so you can understand the scene. We have evacuation from Aleppo, from Syria. The Syrian government finally decided to give those rebels a break and let them go. Now, we have the United Nations that might join forces and send some inspectors, which is incredible, because that city, that region is bleeding, and they need help. And until now, the United Nations could not even send people because they were in danger. So think about what's the condition are. There are the rebels that the Assad government, because you know, Donald Trump is coming soon, and it's not going to be funny with him. So they decided to release pressure and let those rebels go. Now, once we have this, there are buses that shipping those people out, and Turkey allow them to come to her borders. Now think about those hundreds of people that coming, and some of them, of course, they are violent people, and they're blaming Russia for letting Assad stay. And sure enough, Turkey, Ankara, shoot up off the ambassador.
Your guest is back.
So we have to understand what the condition is on the ground right now. It's so so sensitive that we need the intervention of the United Nations, the United States, and the coalition forces to settle it down, because we have a break here to help those people, and we need to think how we're going to solve the situation just before the holidays. So let's hear. I think that my guest is back now. Sherry, are you back?
I am. It's great to be
right
here. Great to be back.
Thank you so much for coming over. It means that you're going to come back again and again. You know, I have a feeling about that. Now, Sherry Edward, tell me about it. Tell me the story. I like women that make a difference in the world, and you sounds like you're doing a lot to make your mark.
Well, I run a school called the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, and I was on BBS Radio for several years with what we were doing. We take a sample of someone's voice and we look at their voice to see what is going on with them by personality and by health issues. I did your vocal print before we started the show, and it says that you are very cautious and thorough and dedicated, and that you can use words and information as a weapon or a gift.
Oh, all right. That's why I got a microphone. What do you think?
yours isn't just self stuff. You want to make a difference.
Yeah, I definitely do, and I do. I dedicate my life every day, since I remember myself, to make this universe better and this world, and be worthy before God, because I'm a dedicated believer. And I'm thankful for you that you come and you share those thoughts about me. That's such a great gift. You sound like incredible angel, and I'm sure that the little kids in the world are really happy to have you as the guidance. And your school, what kind of school is, how many people do you have there? How many children do you have there?
Well, it's a school for adults, and we teach people to look at people's voices and tell what's going on. Like, I don't think the people were being treated fairly during this election. So many people were lying. So we put out information about what was going on with Hillary and what she was thinking, and Trump and what he was thinking, and what each of the candidates were going to do. Because I believe, like you do, from your print, that information is power.
Exactly.
And so we were able to say what was going on in the world, as well as just political statements for people.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, all those polls, since I've been in the arena of political life for quite some time, I know how you can manipulate any kind of information. And for them to come out with polls that say ask a certain question, of course they're going to have a certain answer. So their predictability, they wanted Hillary to win, and they lost. And it's really sad, because sometimes people do lose, but that's what the democracy and election is all about. But the question is, when they're talking about false information, what do you think that they said that wasn't true? Because, it's the interpretation that wasn't right. But I'm not sure that Hillary was lying or Donald Trump was lying.
Well, we went back through the stages. Let's look at concession speeches. Hillary wasn't conceding anything. She had two tracks going on. One was a male, I'm going to come after you aggressively. And the other one was, she really felt that she had a God-given right somehow to the position of president, and she was going to come through some back door some way and come back at this. So she was giving out two messages simultaneously.
Well, duplicity, that's something that they use a lot. That's true. Duplicity is something that really confuses people, and it put them in an odd position. People don't trust duplicity, and that's where they lose their vote. I know that this election really mixed the cards for the events in the world, but I think that America actually did right, as far as I'm concerned, looking from outside. America actually won a great leader, because it doesn't matter how you perceive it from inside. If the outside world is actually content, they're happy there is a strong man in town, it means that you're winning already. And you can see also the stock market going up. That's why. And
yeah.
But the fact of the voices, you're talking about adults. Adults are actually are hard to fix. You didn't think about children, because children with your voice, that is so kind and tender, don't you think that it will be great to empower children?
Well, we do two different things here. One, we do it for you, and two, we teach you to do it. And our youngest student has been 15, but any anybody can use the software, and we give the software away. But to interpret the software is a little different. So if you want to use it in for a child and just see what their talents are, that would be great and wonderful. If you had somebody who had the note of E, for instance, and that's your highest note, that is somebody that deals with words in almost a brokering sense. They use words to get things accomplished. So you might direct that child through writing or oratory. You have another child that has a note of A really high, and that's a very spiritual note. So you might move them that direction. So you can look at their talents, because we've broken the codes of what each of the notes. Your voice is like a song, and a song has
right.
notes. And each of the right. notes indicate something else, just like color
awesome.
Indicates something else. The note of C is represent biologically, scientifically, by the colors red and green. So the red makes someone out front and expressive and less fearful. So you might direct people in that way for children. But kids can't interpret these files, even though you punch a button and it gives you information about what's going on.
I got it. It's too elaborate for children. That's why adults can use it and benefit. And listen, the adults in our life need a lot of comfort, because there are so much, let's say it, negativity in the world that people feel fear other people. And sometimes if they can interpret the music of somebody else, they can actually feel more comfortable and maybe trustworthy, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and with this program, you punch seven little buttons and out comes a report. And your report says, I'm going to read the first paragraph, if you
sure.
ever had to lie to see justice done, you would do it because your sense of justice doesn't always jive with the law. You have a high degree of intuition when it comes to listening to what people are not saying. It's easy for you to see the faults in others, but don't always know how to get your point across politely. That's just one paragraph from your vocal print, and I took that from one of your shows when you were introducing
But let me correct you. It will be really impossible for me to lie, because justice must be truthful. It's a contradiction in act. And it makes sense maybe to some, but for me it's like it's God. You know, you have to go with truth and justice. But if you say that the law is not just always, maybe that's where you're you have a point. But
I'll give you an example. If the Nazis came to my door and were looking for my grandmother and I was hiding her, and they said, "Is your grandmother here?" I would lie to them. Because my grandmother is much better value for me than the truth to those people.
So I second that completely, because if you talk about life as far as justice goes, definitely that's a higher priority. And there is no question about it that people need to understand right from wrong. And once you are right, comforted in with bad stuff, it might be, you know, you go to any solution to do the just thing. Wow, it's tricky as it can be. Now I'm not sure I want you to read all of it, because it's really I am a little self-conscious right now because my voice usually, listen, I used to sing, so for some reason I stopped in some form many years ago, because different languages have you sing in different tune. You're not in your own comfort zone, so you don't sing. But I think that voices, when they're truthful, you can hear them loud and clear.
And well, I'm going to send you your report, and you'll see that your highest note is a note of E, which represents words, and it's yellow, which is intellectual. So intellectual words of truth is your highest value. If you compare that with, say, Netanyahu, his highest value is the emotions and service to moving through something and getting it done for the betterment of all people. So everybody has
Can you send me Netanyahu's too? Can you send me Netanyahu too?
Sure. Yes.
I would get it to him because it's really amazing. I didn't know he's emotional. For something, I think that he takes it really personal. Everything is very personal with him. But I never sensed that he's a sensitive man. He's like a... I don't know. I thought that he's like a little, a little proud of himself. Didn't think that he cares so much.
Yeah, he can be very gruff, but underneath it all, he is satisfying his own emotions of how he can help others. It says for him, you like your working environment to be efficient with things readily available. You have the ability to use words very creatively. You inspire people with stories and demonstrations. You can be very hard on yourself, taking blame or responsibility needlessly. So he does that for his people. And
yeah,
I will send
you
that one too.
Listen, he's been through a lot of tough time in Israel. You know, in Israel, it's not a picnic. The Holy Land, you won't believe it. But for some reason, there is a lot of contracting forces here. And Israel is a country that has incredible talent, all concentrated in one. So everyone is outsmarting the other. And it's really hard to be successful here because the bites is incredible. But, you know, they need to focus more on purpose. The purpose is to fix the world, to shine upon the world, not inside. And sometimes they're missing, you know, the mission. But I hope that we can get to the work that it ends once, you know, they let us be. Anyway, but did you ever try to analyze the Palestinian voices?
I haven't, but if you can send me some recordings, I certainly will.
That would be nice, Sherry. We could and we'll put you on again with that, so we can talk about it. Listen,
we want everybody to be able to do this, so that's why we are giving away this computer program so that anybody can punch the button. Use a recording or a live voice, and they can see where people are coming from. They can get this...
How they can get it?
soundhealthoptions.com, and go to downloads. And it's called Nano. Downloads. Downloads,
right.
Like download a computer. And... that program is called Nano Voice, N-A-N-O, meaning little voice. And it's a little program. The other thing that's there for people free is a radiation software, and everything there is to use it, all the different computer programs to be able to use it and interpret it. Because I think one of the biggest lies that have come around is about Fukushima. They are not telling us the truth. And we have looked at that many times. So we couldn't make them tell us the truth, so we just completed a computer program to give away to the people to see if they've been exposed. And then there's charts there that says if you've been exposed to this, up your vitamin D. If you've been exposed to this, do that. So we're trying to help the people with their health and with their ability to know the truth. The little nano voice helps.
Sherry, are you telling me that you're the first program to monitor radiation as far as popular voices? Because there are radiation that is monitored in medical center, et cetera. But do you saying to me that you can actually download a program to moderate how much radiation you're exposed to in any place in the world?
Well, it's for people personally, not a geographical location. It's individual per person.
Oh my God, because I think that there is this is something that we all need to do. We need to monitor our radiation income, if we say, or, you know, exposure to radiation, something that really killing us slowly and nobody's paying attention and worrying that. You know how many people have been suffering through that from all kind of tumors through the radiation from the phone, and everybody's trying to not admit that it's the fault of the radiation. But now we have the cell phone, we have the computer, we have everything around that is radiating, and the antennas that are very powerful, that they, you know, they're exposing us to this. I really would love people to use it, and I actually got into the sound health options, and it jumped in very nicely, and with happy holidays to everybody, and joined our email, and I'm going to join in immediately, so you can have me on your list. And I'm really thankful for you, Sherry, and your very, very kind voice and your kind interpretation of my voice. And I hope that we can talk again. I'll send you some samples of others. So we might invite you back in the beginning of the new year so we can chit-chat about that. How do you like that?
That would be wonderful. While you're there, go to that radiation download, and you can see all the charts and everything there for people to do it for themselves and for others. We want everybody to have a bioacoustic center in every community.
Here I'm on the radiation software, radiation and advocacy software, download information. You're wonderful. Tell me what city you're calling for, you're talking to me from?
Albany, Ohio.
Albany, Ohio. All right, Ohio. We love you. I used to live in South Carolina. You guys will come to visit us very often, and we love you there. Anyway, I want to wish you a happy holiday. I want to thank you for this, and I thank you for all the hard thing that you do for this world, because you're making it better. And thank you really for this kindness that you show through the patient by calling in back and forth, and we appreciate you a lot. God bless you. Happy New Year. Happy holiday to all of your family.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to get some music, and we're going to get back to you after that. All right. I'm sorry that song is so loud in the morning, but probably Sherry would have something to say about those voices. Now, something that we want to tell about Sherry, she has classes, and those are two classes that they are for free online that you can go there. And if you remember to, download the program, you can actually learn a lot. And whatever we're doing, we can always get a help from expert. So you go into soundhealthoption.com, and then you're going to go and download. Then you have classes, and you have clinical services, everything you want to know. And if you want to ask Sherry, email her, and just find a way to download it. It's really interesting. Anyway, let's go back to what's going on in Aleppo. We just, we heard about the ambassador gunshot by the rebels, but the rebel situation is intact. Let's listen to what I have for you.
Breaking news now on Fox News Channel. The Russian President Vladimir Putin has handed a victory to Syria's murderous dictator Bashar al-Assad. Victory in a proxy war pitting the United States against Russia and Syria. Now, defeated survivors are leaving what's left of their homes in Syria's largest city. It is a big win for the dictator, who's killed countless women and children with poisonous gas. Today, emergency workers began evacuating people trapped in Aleppo after rebel fighters gave up the city to government forces. Among the survivors hundreds wounded in the fighting, including children. Volunteers claimed they came under fire today while clearing a path for evacuations. It is unclear, officially, who was shooting at them. The evacuations mark the end of months of bloody fighting in that city. The fall of Aleppo came as part of a Russian-backed ceasefire. Russia is a longtime supporter of Syria's dictator Bashar al-Assad and provided airstrikes to assist in the murder of more than 400,000 people by Assad's forces. Secretary of State John Kerry spoke about that a short time ago.
And there is absolutely no justification whatsoever for the indiscriminate and savage brutality against civilians shown by the regime and by its Russian and Iranian allies over the past few weeks, or indeed for the past 5 years.
The war there could be a major test for President-elect Donald Trump, who says he wants a closer relationship with Russia, a closer relationship with Vladimir Putin, the same Vladimir Putin who just assisted in the slaughter of thousands. So that we are perfectly clear here, and as we have been reporting on this program for years, this is a civil war, but it is and has been much more. This is a proxy war between the United States supporting rebels in Syria against the forces of the murderous dictator Bashar al-Assad, the Iranian forces, and the Russian military. The United States and the rebels just lost a major battle in that war with no signs of victory ahead. Hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians have been murdered, some reportedly through war crimes, including barrel bombs and gassing. Vladimir Putin's forces made this possible. It could not have happened without him. Today, thousands are at last fleeing the forces defeating our proxies. Witnesses inside Aleppo say civilian bodies litter the city, the ruins stained with the blood of the people. The world has watched as Bashar al-Assad, with the help of the Russians and Vladimir Putin, has slaughtered civilians for years. Josh Letterman is here, the White House reporter for the Associated Press. A proxy war between the United States and Russia, with our proxies being the rebels in Syria and Russia, along with Bashar al-Assad's forces. And we've lost again, and thousands are dead. Now what?
Well, now what is certainly the big question. And you're right that this has pitted the U.S. against Russia in a very sharp way over the last few years. Now, the big question, as you have this big culminating moment in Aleppo, a watershed moment that really strengthens Assad's hand, coming at the same time that the Obama administration is coming to an end, is what happens next? How does President-elect Donald Trump try to tackle this issue? And does he move the U.S. towards a closer alignment with Russia's goals, trying to focus exclusively on counterterrorism and fighting ISIS as opposed to trying to marginalize Assad, as he's spoken about doing in the past few months? Or does he find that that strategy is really not going to be any more effective and essentially come around to where Obama has been for the last few years?
What have diplomats suggested are the options for Bashar al-Assad?
Well, Bashar Assad is in pretty strong condition right now. This was a major victory for him. And like it or not for the U.S., the Russian military intervention in Syria that the U.S. said was going to be a quagmire that Assad and Russia would regret has actually been very effective. It has managed to put Assad back into a position of power compared to the U.S.-backed rebels, and has made it so that it doesn't look like he's in any apparent danger of falling anytime soon. So for Assad, this is all the justification that he feels he needs to go to the international community and say, look, I'm winning this, I'm fighting counterterrorism efforts, and the rest of the world should align with me instead of trying to support my opponents like the rebels that the United States and others have been trying to prop up.
The Secretary of State trying to suggest that the United States will do and has done all that it can, history may reflect poorly on that assessment.
We saw really an intense broadside from Secretary of State Kerry just a few minutes ago at the State Department, not only decrying the violence, but trying to put this all on Assad and on his Russian backers, saying that Assad was not just going after people and having some collateral damage with civilian casualties, but that this was a purposeful attempt to try to terrorize civilians. But you can sense a level of desperation in that there's not a whole lot more that the U.S. feels that it can do other than decry what Syria has been doing in louder and louder terms, unless the U.S. is willing to actually go in there militarily in a way that the Obama administration has made very clear they don't feel will be an effective solution to this crisis.
And Congress gave no voice at all in any way to this conflict, did it?
Well, you know, Congress, a lot of lawmakers on the Hill would like to see a more forceful response by the U.S. militarily, but what the Obama administration has been saying for many years now is that none of those lawmakers have been able to express some type of actual strategy, a military solution that would have any likelihood of actually resolving this crisis, given the deep sectarian nature of the conflict and the various forces that are fighting there. So this administration has not been willing to go down that road. Donald Trump has...
We're back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. I want to let you listen to this very carefully. I really want you to pay attention. This is the media, American media, and I'm, you know, all American girl in for the sake of conversation. What you're trying to do right now, trying to alert everybody against Russia, won't be effective method. Because we all know who created the rebel situation. We all know who funded them. We all know who created that revolt. Now, they lost the game. That revolt was not effective, all right? You tried it in other countries, and we are not going to talk about the involvement of American forces elsewhere, because that's... You know, that's the job that you all have by being the, you know, the leader of the free world. But right now, you have people that we are trying to save on the ground. There is no need for the media to try to start pointing finger where you have no word in that. You've been quiet. Kerry, Mr. Secretary Kerry, that I... completely love and respect, and I think that he did everything in his power. He was missing in action in the last few months. We've been talking about this situation in Syria week after week after week. The European Union, there is Mr. The universe itself was ignoring everything because they all were busy by the election. We were crying for help for those children forever. And now that the Assad regime that won this battle, you wanted to take him off. What do you expect him to do? To give his life and just give up? And now you lost that round. And he's giving the chance to those people to evacuate, to save. This is the agreement now on the ground. He's letting them go. And let them go. Open up. Instead, don't try to pin it on the Russia. And look what you have. You have a dead ambassador right now in Turkey. The ambassador got killed by the rebels, I guess. Now, those rebels, who are they? Just imagine. I live here in the state of Israel. Think what would happen, you all, in the media. The rebel needs to be victorious and all. Think about the Jabhat al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS taking care of Syria. Okay, you think that the regime will be changed? Or maybe awful stuff will happen like it happened in Iraq. In Iraq, you know, it's a big thing. It's a big country. To actually have resources and all. What can happen in Syria? Do you know how close Syria is to the border of Israel? Do you have a clue what you're saying when you're talking about, oh, the rebel war defeated? Who are the rebels? Like Donald Trump, the elected president, and God bless him. I hope, you know, this victory will be incredible. He said, who are those people that you give weapon to? Who are they? And you are complaining that Assad is a totalitarian, is a dictator, like many other Arab leaders in the world. What are you going to do now? You're trying to create a war, a verbal war with Russia, where there is no reason to blame it when she was trying. Listen, you... And you're trying to say that they were in charge of that. The rebel conditioned the situation. Assad was defending in the way that Arab people defend their stuff. not defending Assad, of course. And God Almighty, as the ruler, you know, the ruler always in his end. So his end won't be funny anyway, because he killed so many people. But right now, I want to save as many people as I can, okay? This is the end of that war. Let's finish with that. Let's finish with that and let them evacuate softly. Let's finish with them and let them push those people elsewhere. Let's finish and take care of the children that have been for 5 years under gun attack. And you guys in the media, please be careful. Please be careful, because this is the controversial that you created on the ground. You created it also in America. You created it also after the election of George W. Bush, and I was there to witness it. I was there when you didn't agree to give the reign to George Bush. George W. Bush didn't have to celebrate. He couldn't celebrate because you took it away from him. And you're trying to take it away from Trump that won't give it to you, because he's going to celebrate all over you guys again and again and again, because that's the kind of a man he is. But you had 8 years of presidency that you were been spitting. You were making America look bad to the world. So when they come and destroy everything, you know, economically talking, nobody could care less. Nobody invested back in America because you badmouth the same country you live in. America is a great nation. It's a great institution of wisdom, of liberty, and incredible, incredible freedom. And you guys have to bless yourself that you live there. And every day that you wake up in the great American country, you have to say, thank you, God. Because out here in the Middle East, it's not funny. So please, please count your blessing. And, you know, and make sure that this election passed, you know, with flowers, passed the celebration, passed with glory. So America can go back to herself, can win again, and be together. And you know what? You're all Americans. And all Americans, no matter where you are in the world, you're special. Because you're born with freedom in your heart. Something that other nations don't have. And other people are striving to get. Let's teach them a lesson. Let's give them what we really, really need to teach them how democracy works and what the law, you know, the law and justice it is. And, you know, talking about that, we had a situation on the ground in Israel. It happens that for some reason, you know, the Arab member of Knesset, they think that they can play with fire. And I don't know what's the background situation, but we have one member of Knesset, and I'm changing conversation because it's really a connection to how much people are insensitive or careless in their life, that they're endangering their own people and sometimes their life completely. And this member of Knesset was transferring phone to terrorist Arabic terrorist that they are in jail. Now think about somebody from Congress that passed to terrorist telephone. What America would have done? You know, guys, that it's all clear, and it would be, you know, wonderful. In Israel, it's not that clear. It's only gonna be investigated for a minute, you know. I know what will happen to him if he was in the USA, but of course, Israel needs to be extra cautious. This liberty of action is really outrageous sometimes in Israel, and that's where I play a lot of roles here, when I actually have my, you know, at heart the American Constitution. Because I study in American Institute of the University of South Carolina, so I know something about law, and I know something about, you know, being the lobbyist and all. I learned and I respect it so much that when I won the bet to who will win the election today, I got a book that wrote by Charles Ehrman Prince about the American Constitution. the American Constitution and the explanation of it. It's a biography, and it's a really, really a good indication to where my heart is, because if you choose a book that it's the Constitution of America, you just know that I can't wait for Israel to have a constitution. And I'm calling upon all you legislators all over the world who can come up with a great, great help to make the Holy Land Constitution, the Jewish Constitution, happen, because we need one. So we don't have to face somebody from the Knesset that will walk and give terrorists phones, and they won't have a weapon, you know, any legislation weapon against them, weapon saying that the law. That's all about that. Anyway, let's keep on going. We have not much to go, you know, not much time, but I love to be here. And I'm telling you, it's such a pleasure and such an honor and such a blessing to have a space in your universe. And I hope that you keep on listening to me, because sometimes, you know, it might be interesting. Anyway, we have a moment of a crisis in the world right now. Ankara is going to be under fire. And you know, with the Russian, you always have to ask when the other shoe is going to drop. Because if you think that they're going to be silent over that, I don't think so. Because last time I remember, you know, there is so many things that can happen. So let's enforce all Russian embassy all over the world right now. Let's take a check to all the security places. All right, you guys, you do the right thing, because we need you to be safe and sound all over, because those diplomats are really, really risking their life all over now. So let's go on. I got something from to you to listen. Let's listen to that.
Intelligence officers said the probes are creating a paper trail that will make it harder for Mr. Trump and the Russian president to build a close relationship after January 20th. Megan.
Catherine, thank you.
You're welcome.
Me now with more, New York Congressman Peter King, member of the Homeland Security Committee and Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Congressman, good to see you tonight. So what does it tell you that these agencies have refused Congress's demand that they show up and share the intel?
Megan, this is absolutely disgraceful. All we've heard from the intelligence community over the last several months is that they could not say that there was any attempt to undermine Hillary Clinton to help Donald Trump. The consensus was that there was an attempt by the Russians to put a cloud over the election, to create disunity. Well, that's what's happening right now, and it's the intelligence community that's doing it. There was nothing at all ever told to us. In fact, they said that they couldn't prove it, that there was an attempt to favor one candidate over the other. Director Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, said that publicly on November 17th. And now we have this, as far as I know, there is no decision by the CIA. There is no consensus opinion. And yet we find it in the New York Times, in the Washington Post, the House Committee on Intelligence was told nothing about this. And yet it's our committee, it's Devin Nunes, who has jurisdiction over the CIA and all the intelligence agencies. This violates all protocols, and it's almost as if people in the intelligence community are carrying out a disinformation campaign against the president-elect of the United States. It's absolutely disgraceful. And if they're not doing it, then it must be someone in the House or the Senate who's leaking false information. And there should be a full investigation of this.
So you're telling me that when the Washington Post had this report on Friday citing anonymous sources saying that the CIA has determined Russia interfered in the election with the purpose of helping Trump's campaign,
right. That
was the first you heard of it from the Washington Post, and now this would be your next and best attempt to get the CIA to come before you, and you have oversight responsibility over them, to tell you what they know, and you've been refused.
Absolutely. They absolutely refuse. They won't be there tomorrow. They have somebody has the time to leak it to the Washington Post and the New York Times, but they don't have the time to come to Congress, and it's the House Committee on Intelligence that has the absolute jurisdiction over the CIA and the intelligence community.
You don't believe that we're too busy to help you right now because we're busy helping President Obama. You don't believe that?
No, it's their job. It's their job to come. They don't have any choice. They have to come in. So they, and especially when they have created this, here it is the week before the Electoral College's meeting, and
so
someone in the
doing?
Intelligence Committee.
What are they doing? It is tough to believe they don't have time. It's a big agency. They can't find one person to go speak to the Congress who represents us for oversight purposes. So what? Why would they be playing this game and refusing to appear before you?
Well, first of all, I don't think there is any conclusion that they're attempting to favor Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. Who is the CIA? When they say the CIA has made this conclusion, who? Is that Brennan? Who is it in the CIA has done this? There is no finding that we've gotten. There's no assessment that we've seen. If they have what, they have an obligation to show it to us. Maybe there is none. This could be a whole house of cards. I see it as some type of disinformation to discredit the incoming president-elect. And that's absolutely disgraceful. First of all, they should have gone to him.
That's quite an accusation.
They should have gone to the Congress.
I mean, these are our spies who risk their lives to protect us. I mean, General Michael Hayden was out yesterday saying, look, this kind of thing, these guys put their lives on the line.
Right.
And what he said was, the CIA director sent people into harm's way to learn things otherwise unavailable.
Right.
And if what is gained is not used or wanted or labeled as suspect or corrupt, by what moral authority does a director put his people at risk? That's from the former head of the CIA. Mm-hmm. Do you go too far in accusing them of intentionally engaging in a disinformation campaign?
I'm saying that there is someone there who is leaking this out. Why didn't they tell the House Intelligence Committee? That's their obligation. Why didn't they tell the House Intelligence Committee if something so dramatic happened between November 17th and this week to change their assessment? Didn't they have the obligation to come before the Congress and tell us that? We're the ones who have jurisdiction. Devin Nunes is the one they should have gone to. Mm-hmm. Somebody, Devin Nunes or, again, the Speaker of the House, they have an obligation to do that. And then to come out with this, to say the CIA has this, but nobody in the CIA is speaking. No one's on the record. No one at all is on the record. So somebody, if it is true, they're leaking it, and that's a crime. If somebody is making it up, then that's also wrong. This stinks. It really does. It's wrong. And this could well end up being the conclusion sometime. If it is, they have to do it in a proper way. They have not done it. And so far, I just think that this is disgraceful what's happened.
Wow. Extraordinary. Congressman King, great to see you. Thank you, sir.
And let me say, 99...
All right, guys. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. You know, let me put my two cents into this conversation. First of all, I don't remember that the Democratic National Committee had such a brilliant campaign that any hacking into it would change the election. And second, I'll tell you why I think Hillary lost. Because her vice president pick was so benign, so not significant, so incredibly boring that, of course, she's a lady with not exciting, mate. What was it? It was like a whole couple coming to town. Please, guys, get a grip. We have Mike Pence. Do you know how cool he is? Do you know how great he is? Do you know how speak? He couldn't even have a match with her elected. So don't try to blame anybody else. Try to blame your pick. You pig wrong. And now all those Hollywood celebrities that are trying to run ragged, trying to convince the electoral vote to vote to change their mind. Now, do you know who are those electoral vote? Do you think that they would change their mind because Hollywood celebrity come to town? Did you think they earn that credit to be electoral vote of America by being a really, really credible and very resourceful by their own? They don't need any celebrity pretending to be president like Mr. Shane. Come on, guys. Hollywood, get out of the picture. Politics is not for you. Hollywood is beautiful. Politics is for Hollywood for the ugly, all right? So get the life and keep on going. And let Donald Trump do his job. It's really, really important for America to have a very strong position. But having said that, do you think that the CIA really have anything about the Russian involvement? in America or in the world itself. Let me give you a hint to everybody, all those ladies and all those men that think that their computer is private. Think that you all under monitor constantly. There is no private space on a public internet. Think you send nude pictures of yourself. What are you thinking? You send obscenity. What are you thinking? You think anything will be safe? Everybody is in charge here. There is always another layer of information that can trigger your information. Be smart. Don't give away anything you cannot lose or you cannot, you know, provide your family with information that you won't be ashamed of. Send only the stuff that you're proud of. Send your best out in the internet so you can grow to be a great person universally. Don't send stuff that doesn't work. And if you're afraid to be hacked, well, duh, of course you're going to be hacked. And if you're imported, sure enough, you're going to tap in. Do you think the telephone is safe? Think again. Do you know how many agencies there are in the world that they're all listening? Do you know how many satellites there are? Do you know how many pictures of you they can take in every second of the day if they just decide? So why don't you choose to be on the right side of town and stop being, you know, insulting to others by blaming them for your loss? Mrs. Hillary Clinton, it's time to write your book. All right, let's get some music and we'll be back after that. And that was Happy Birthday for Doug and Donald Newsom to have a wonderful, wonderful celebration. We really love you guys. We really love you. You're special. You're beautiful. And your heart is incredible. So I'm so honored to have you and God bless you. Now, let's keep on going. We have a situation with China. We had a drone snacked by the Chinese. Guys, stuff happen like this. Don't take it too hard. Let's listen to it.
China's government says the U.S. is, quote, hyping up an incident where it seized a U.S. Navy drone in international waters. They're now promising to return the drone in what's being called an appropriate manner. It all started on Thursday when China grabbed an underwater U.S. Navy research drone from international waters in the South China Sea. President-elect Donald Trump weighed in this morning on Twitter, tweeting out, quote, China steals United States Navy research drone in international waters, rips it out of water, and takes it to China, an unprecedented act. I want to bring in Peter Hoekstra. He's a former Republican congressman and was also the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He's now a Donald Trump supporter. There's no question that tensions between the U.S. and China are heating up, Peter. So do you see a connection between that and the rhetoric from the incoming president?
Well, I think what Donald Trump is doing, he's signaling to China very clearly that, you know, the relationship with China needs to change. We're very concerned about what they've been doing in the South China Sea. He wants to send a signal that says, hey, in international waters, all nations can can traverse those waters freely, and America will do everything that we can to secure those. He's saying that, you know, we want a good relationship with China, but there's going to be accountability, there's going to be expectations, there's going to be responsibilities. It has to be a balanced relationship. I think at 30,000 feet, he's setting the bar for the kind of relationship that he wants to have with China. He recognizes that in this case, you know, and how America responds to, you know, the grabbing of an underwater drone, we only have one president at a time. It's Barack Obama's responsibility to respond to this specific incident.
All right, let's go back. All right, we're back. I know we ran out of time, but remember that China is really playing with fire right now. We have the president-elect Trump that is going to change the negotiation terms, and sometimes it's not really good to waive that, the notes that China has, because he's going to raise taxes on them like crazy. So be watchful. China is going to have a new day in town, and it's about time to put things in order. More than that, the Trump administration already is showing the way that is going to settle the dispute in the Middle East about Jerusalem. And they're sending a wonderful, attorney, David Friedman, to be the ambassador to the internal capital, Jerusalem. They're gonna move the embassy finally from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which I don't know what took America so long, because being my best friend, I would suspect that Jerusalem will be recognized as the capital of Israel, which it is by biblical connection. And there is no dispute about that, of the temple, first and second, by Judaism and Christianity as well. So, guys, if you see ever the light, this is the light. Donald Trump is seeing the light really well, and he's going to move the embassy, and they're going to have a spot already, and they have a nice architect that designed a lot. And if you want something magnificent to happen to Jerusalem, is let Donald Trump build it. Just imagine what a majestic phenomenon going to be if Donald Trump is going to raise the embassy in the holy city of Jerusalem. Do you know what honor America will get? Do you understand to be standing there in the holy city of Jerusalem as the ambassador with a flag of America on top? It's going to be incredible. And then all the other country will can follow suit, like they were waiting for you to move it. So you actually are in the way to all the others. And you know what? The Palestinians, they have to have a life, because Jerusalem does not belong to anybody but the Jewish people. And everybody needs to come to a completion with it. So on that note, with the blessing of everybody from here to you all, and congratulations to the new elect president for being elected, and we wish you all the best. And for all our friends all over the world, and all those beautiful little children that running for rescue right now, God bless you. And that's for now. This is Orly Benny Davis. God bless you all. Love you. Ciao, ciao.